Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Darren. Yes.
Welcome. Welcome to you all, those who are in the building with us at the moment, especially if you're visiting with us, welcome to you as well, and welcome to those who are watching online. This is the Vines Uniting Church Christmas Eve service 2021. Luke's Gospel records, hang on before I do that, a couple of notices. I don't like notices in services like this, but just to make a mention, there is a retiring offering tonight and tomorrow morning for the Christmas bowl appeal. It's a little basket at the back by the door if you would like to make a contribution to that. There's also some envelopes out on the tables there for the Christmas bowl appeal if you would like to do that. And also tomorrow morning service is at 9 a.m. It's going to be spectacular as tonight's, perhaps even more so. Okay, Luke's Gospel records this in chapter 2. The angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." I love Christmas. Do you love Christmas? Do you love Christmas, those of you online? And I love the beauty of the story contained in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. And at this time of year, I enjoy rereading and pondering them. I have a sense of awe as I read, particularly at the various responses, not least of all Mary's and Joseph's, but also Elizabeth, the shepherds, the sages, Simeon, Anna, no doubt lots of others. Reminders for me that God invites people of all ages and from all walks of life to participate in the holy. That photo up there I took a few days ago in our son's backyard, and it reminded me that there is much beauty in this world in which we live, even in the fragile. Reminded me to be thankful for the beauty that we behold, that I behold every day. And it reminded me that even in the most challenging of times, joy can touch the heart through the beauty that abounds, including that of a newborn child. So as we celebrate tonight and tomorrow, may we and our families participate with great joy in the holy to which we have been invited and in which we participate every day. Have a wonderful evening here at the Vines. David Pryor is going to come and... No?
Yes.
Bell's going to come.
Yeah, go on. Come on, let's go.
And light some incendiary devices. Set fire to things. So we've journeyed through Advent, and having reached Christmas Eve, we light four Advent candles. We light the first candle to remind us of hope, that our hope is in the truth of God. We light the second candle that reminds us to make space in our hearts. The third candle reminds us that joy comes from the light of the world. And the fourth candle reminds us love casts out fear. Can we all pray together the words that will be on the screen there? Let's pray. At times, our joy this year has seemed constricted.
Like trying to sing through a mask, reminding us again of COVID Christmas chaos. Yet amidst the fear and frustration, Christmas reminds us all that your love now never fails. So we can choose hope again and live to shine your light in the world to make a difference.
In Jesus' name, amen. And we will light all of those candles again tomorrow morning, including the red one, which is known as the Christ candle. I'd like to invite you all now to stand and sing with us.
December, all these new regulations were going to come in. There'd be no singing in January, no from the here and no from there. And then later today, the Premier said, oh, by the way, 28th, the restrictions, we've decided not to go ahead with it. So please ignore that previous email I sent. But I guess what it really says is that COVID is probably more relevant, more prolific in our state than at any other time. So we need to make sure our distancing is good and all that sort of stuff. If you're uncomfortable about coming along because you're not sure what's going on, then we continue to have our online stuff going. So today maybe look like an absolute idiot, but we're really just trying to communicate stuff with you and keep you in the loop. But it's like chaos time. Well, anyway, all the best. I'm glad you're here and to be able to share today and tomorrow as we continue to finish this year and then step into next. Thanks, David.
No worries. There must be something in the name David and being an absolute idiot, because after having received David's email, I sent an email to the entire worship team and said, no singing in January. So welcome to the club, right? Definitely. Thank you.
Don't forget your capo.
No, it's all good. Stay seated.
Once in royal David City, stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ, her little child. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all, and his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall. With the poor and mean and lowly lived on earth our Saviour holy. Not in that poor lowly stable with the oxen standing by we shall see.
Good evening. Reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. This is about Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I love Mary's response, let it be with me according to your word. And that's a response that we can all make, because God is at work in our lives and beckoning us, come. Stay seated again while we sing. God, we praise you and thank you for the celebration of Christmas, for the words we're singing, the words we're hearing from Scripture, for the very life that you have brought to us through your Son, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be alive to you in our lives, as we celebrate this wonderful and beautiful day we call Christmas. Amen. The second reading is about Joseph. It comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, reading verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I might get you to stand up this time. Would you like to do that?
Things that it's always good to do is to pray for the world, pray for others, because prayer is one of those things that changes things, changes ourselves, changes others. So I'm going to invite you to pause with me as we pray for the world in which we live, and certainly closer to home, Australia, and our family and ourselves. So again, let's pray. And praying for me is a simple thing where we picture either a situation or a person in our mind and surround them with our love, our concern, our care. Let's pray. Lord God, we think of Christmas and the message that Jesus reminds us of, that God is with us, a message of hope to transform people's lives, to shine your light during a time for many which is very difficult, challenging, and upsetting. A time which has caused great grief, a loss of life, amongst many things. We think of the places in our world where change really needs to come. We pray for a reversal of power. Places like Russia and Ukraine. Places like Iran and the nuclear program. The Taliban in Afghanistan. Africa and the poorer nations of the world who continue to remain vulnerable to COVID through having no access or minimal access to vaccines. We think of the political strife, war and corruption. We think of the role the wealthy countries have in this world. China, the US. Lord, we pause a moment. So many different parts of this country and this world we've been thinking of. I invite you in this time of silence to offer a prayer for maybe a particular country you have on your mind. Closer to home, Lord, we think of Australia and all the many people who now find themselves in isolation over Christmas. We know it's just such a difficult and confusing time. We understand we have to open up borders and help people come back home. But we also know that there's a great risk for many of us. Lord, help us to find that balance. We help ask that we can continue to be safe and support each other, to continue to phone each other, to support each other through simple ways and gestures. Lord, we think of the churches, the Vines Church, as they continue to make a connection in the community. Lord, may we continue to be passionate about caring and reaching out. And Lord, we think of our own families, think of ourselves. Maybe the plans we've had have maybe been thrown into chaos. Maybe we're uncertain about what the future might hold. Lord, whatever our prayers are, we offer them now to you. So again, I invite you to offer your prayers to God, whatever those concerns may be. Lord God, we thank you for your presence with us through Jesus. We ask that as we continue to open our lives in prayer, that the things we've prayed for may continue to occur. The anxiety or fear that we may have, or the people who are stuck in the state, will know your sense of peace and love through our care. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Conscious when we're singing hymns that are a couple of hundred years old, that if you're female, you might feel left out. That's certainly not the intent. Certainly when they were writing these hymns, their perspective was larger. Maybe we need to get a bit of a pen out and do some adjusting, Dave. But anyway, so Christmas Eve, can you believe it's here? Put your hands up if you wish you had another day to get organized. No. All right, well, that's good. I'm ready to go. We're set. We're good. Hey, look, there's lots of stuff on TV, isn't there, about Christmas and carols. And certainly one of the wonderful things about Christmas time is we sing songs we don't sing most of the year. And the other day I watched Delta Goodrum lead a carols by candlelight. I love Delta. She's great. But one of the things that left me scratching my head was Frosty the Snowman. Who or what is a Frosty the Snowman?
I've read the Bible a number of times and I cannot find anything about Frosty the Snowman. So I thought, who is this critter? There's a whole song dedicated to him. So I actually jumped on the source of information for all of us, Google, and did some tracking down. Now, evidently, Frosty the Snowman was made by some children, and a magician's magic bunny stole the magician's magic hat and bounced along and jumped on top of this snowman and made the snowman come alive. His name was Frosty. And so Frosty suddenly realized that he didn't have long on this earth because he's ice and the sun was shining. So he got the kids to come along and he had a parade. And through the streets, he met a policeman, all this wonderful stuff. And there's a 30-minute animated clip, if you're really wondering what I'm talking about. I watched most of it. And then he's being chased by this magician who wants his hat back. And so eventually the snowman hides in a glass house. So really he hasn't quite got his intelligence quite organized yet. So he melts. And just before he totally vanishes, Father Christmas comes along from the North Pole and resurrects him. And then the magician comes along and tries to get his hat back. To which Father Christmas says, I'm going to give you a choice, sunshine. Either you take your hat and never receive a Christmas present ever again, or you leave the hat with Frosty the Snowman and you'll get a beautiful present this Christmas. The magician decided to go with the second offer because everybody loves a good present. And so that really is the end of the story. And I had to think, well, there you go. What is Christmas about? If I was just relying on Frosty the Snowman, I would be somewhat perplexed. One of my colleagues sent me a poem that I'm going to share with you today. It's actually an interesting poem because it really tries to, I guess, ask the question in our secular environment where we're singing about Frosty the Snowman coming back to life, what does it mean for Christmas? So I've kept the words on here, so I'm going to read it, and as I read, you'll flick through the slides. Now, I'm not sure what the title was, but I called it If You Came. You'll understand why. So, if you came to this place expecting a tame story, you came to the wrong place. If you came for a story that does not threaten you, you came for a different story than the one we tell. If you came to hear of the coming of a God who only showed up so you could have a nice day with your loved ones, then you came for a God whom we do not worship here. For even a regular baby is not a tame thing. And goodness that cannot threaten complacency and evil is not much good at all. And a God who would choose to give up power and invincibility to become an infant for you certainly didn't do it just so you can have a roast dinner. But if you came because you think that unwed teenage mothers are some of the strongest people in the world, if you came because you think that the kind of people who work third shift doing stuff you'd rather not do might attract an angel's attention before you snoring comfortably in your bed would, if you came because you think there are wise men and women to be found among undocumented travelers from far lands and that they might be able to show you God, if you came to hear a story of tyrants trembling while heaven comes to peasants, if you came because you believe that God loves the animals as much as the people and so made them the first witnesses to the saving of the world, if you came for stories of reversals that might end up reversing you, if you came for a tale of adventure and bravery where strong and gentle people win and the powerful and the violent go down to dust, where the rich lose their money but find their lives and the poor are raised up like kings, if you came to be reminded that God loves you too much to leave you unchanged, if you came to follow the light, even if it blinds you, if you came for salvation and not safety, then, my friends, you are precisely in the right place. So what are you here for? Well, that was a really great poem. Was there a, you know, we're talking about transformations. The Christmas story is about transformations, not about complacency or comfortability. It's like this metamorphosis. You know, the ugly little green grub transforms into a beautiful butterfly. It's part of the Christian message, which is so countercultural to Frosty the Snowman. So I'm going to give you one moment. On the next slide, there's some of the lines I read out. Is there one of those lines that stands out for you? What out of all those lines stands out for you out of that poem? A story of reversals that might end up reversing you. A tale of adventure and bravery, where strong and gentle people win, and the powerful and the violent go down to dust. Where the rich lose their money but find their lives, and the poor are raised up like kings. God loves you too much to leave you unchanged, to follow the light even if it blinds you. He came for salvation and not safety. Story of reversals. So for me, Christmas is really an opportunity for us to pause too. And tomorrow I'll talk a little bit about reflection on the year that has been and how Mary did a lot of that herself by pondering stuff. And the invitation I always like to give people is, what are you connecting with? What are you taking away from tonight that will help grow your faith, give you a different perspective? Because we're being invited to see the world differently through Christmas. God wants to change us, not simply leave us as we are. God came into the world to change the world. There's a reading from 2 Corinthians, which I'm using the Message version of the Bible. Sometimes it gets it right on. I love this rendition. Recognize that God is a living personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone, that old constricting legalization or legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. So for me, faith is that thing that liberates us, frees us from the things that might grind us into the dirt. The things that might make us feel bad, shameful, or ugly, whatever. God's light and love is that thing that invigorates, sets us free. And it's part of that journey. We don't need Father Christmas to come down from the North Pole and resurrect us. Jesus, through the love of God, comes and connects us in a living presence now. Here, we don't get whisked away somewhere else. Here and now. There's a slide from one of my favorite authors, Rick Warren. Remember how far you've come, not just far you have to go. You are not where you want to be, but neither are you where you used to be. Often in sermons we think, something new, but really we're trying to affirm your journey you've already had. You're on your faith journey. You've learned so much. There's so much more we can discover. Lewis was telling me just before the service about for many people from older generations whose parents lived through the wars, you know what hardship and suffering is about. You know the tenacity that is required. And for those who have lived through COVID the last couple of years, this is not a new adventure for us, is it? So with the services stopping and starting, this is not a new thing. There are some constants through this whole couple of years. Each other, faith, hope. So today as we celebrate the ending of 2021, move into 2022, some things don't change. The unpredictability of COVID
but also the love and hope that we have through each other and our connection with God. Amen. What is one thing you're taking away from today? Hopefully it's not a cracking headache. Turn to the person next to you if you need to. What is one thing you're taking away from today? Service, prayers, carols, whatever. You've got 20 seconds, so please talk if you want to. Lord God, we thank you for your love. We ask that you would continue to fill us with your Spirit this Christmas season. Amen. Thanks, David.
Digby's just reminding me. That's good. Thank you, mate. One more song to sing. The one thing I'm taking away tonight, and it might be something different tomorrow, is that God loves us so much not to leave us unchanged. Did I get that right? I had the opportunity a few years ago in some studies I was doing to look back over my life theologically, and time again, as I looked from a very young age right through to the age I'm at now, I could see God at work, you know, through the good times, through the lousy times. And I won't expand any more than that. But God loves us so much not to leave us unchanged. And that's a marvellous thing to celebrate at Christmas. I'd invite you all to stand. You can't sing this last carol sitting down.
Amen.
by lighting the candles to remind us of God's presence with us. Now I'm going to blow them out because you are the love, peace, joy, and hope in this world. Go in peace to shine. Amen.